Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We're going to do something off course a little bit today. Thank you. Hold that spot. So, let me tell you. You know, these sermons, I just don't dream them up. I don't dream them up. So, God, He wanted to be a little funny this week with me. So usually, you know, but he did me a favor, though. Usually it's 2 o'clock in the morning when He gives me a sermon. This time, He didn't let me sleep, so I didn't wake up. So 9 o'clock, He laid on my heart how we need to do this. So we're going to try. Y'all got to bear with me today. Y'all going to have to keep up. We're gonna make some circles. We're gonna come back. We're gonna get it. We're gonna tie it in. I got confidence in that. We're gonna do it. So, Genesis 3:15. And I'm leaving a bunch of stuff above it and a bunch of stuff below it out right now. But I want you to focus on this for a second, and then we're gonna talk about it. This is our main scripture for today. This is God speaking, Jesus, and I will put an enmity between you and the woman, He's talking to Satan, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Dear Heavenly Father, let's take these few minutes together today. Let's just break this down, these scriptures that you want us to understand and to know. Just open our minds and hearts to what you have us receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're like me, I got to do a little extra research on some stuff sometimes because I don't really grasp some of these big words. So I want you to look, and I will put an enmity. I don't know if I'm even saying it right. And I don't speak good English, so I sure don't. Close enough, right? You know what that word means. If you don't know what that word means, then the scripture is not going to mean nothing. And I'm, you know, I telling Joshua a while ago, and I get to preach to myself long before I preach to y'all. So I step on my own toes. And not that I assume that you don't know what that word means. I didn't know what that word means, which that's not out of the ordinary. Okay, so I'm not, trust me. So just in case you don't know what that word means, I'm going to give you a biblical definition of it. A deep-seated, active hostility, hatred, I know everybody perked up on that one, or total opposition between parties, particularly between humanity and Satan. I already know what you're fixing to ask me. God can't hate nothing. Well, let me tell you what you need to do. For the sake of time, jot this in your memory and go when you get home. Proverbs chapter 6, read verses 16 through 19. And see what God, He loves us. But He hates to sin. Okay? He loves us, but He hates to sin. And some other things in there. You need to read Proverbs 6, 6 through 19. That's just one reference to it. But I just want to throw that out there. So when we read this again, and I will put an enmity or a hatred or hostility between you and the woman. Talking to Satan and the woman. We know the woman is Eve. Okay? And stuff. She's the Eve, name Eve. She's the mother of mankind. So we'll talk about that. So here's why I told you we're going to get off of that for a minute. So let's talk about Creation Week for a second. And the reason I'm doing this, I'm going to talk about two things before we get to the meat of the sermon. We're going to talk about creation, not detailed. And we're going to talk about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Now, let me tell you, you will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. Trinity means not the river. We all know the Trinity River because we're from here, right? The Trinity means three. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is going to be very important on the sermon today. Okay? Day one, creation week. Okay? Day one, let there be light. Now go read Genesis 1:1 down through the whole chapter and about creation week. I'm just going to hit the high points. So what pertains to the sermon today. Day one, God said, let there be light. And guess what there was? Light. Okay. Day two, let there be a vault or sky. And there was a sky. Day three, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. You see where we're headed to here? We're starting to separate things. Not we. God is starting to put things together here. Let the water gather under the sky to one place. Let the dry ground appear. The land. So now we got land and the seas on day three. All right. Day four. Let there be lights in the sky to separate day from night. We know what that is. The sun, the moon, the stars. Once you get deeper into it, this is where you get your seasons and all the integral parts beyond what a human can even dream of or think of, what God did, how he made it all work. Okay. Day five, let the water teem with creatures. That's all your sea creatures. And the birds fly above. So we got sea creatures and birds, right? You fishermen in here, I'll be one of them. We got some fish. Dove hunters, they'll be coming up in the fall. I'm one of them too. And we got birds. And see what God did for us? So. All right. I better stop on that before it's Peter or somebody gets a hold of me. All right, day six. Now, I want you to listen to the day six. Day six was a pretty important day. Kind of what we're fixing to get into here in a minute. Let the land produce the living creatures. Deer hunters, I'm one of them too. Not just deer, but y'all get it. Now, I want you to pay particularly close attention. This is day six. This is God speaking still. Let us, a capital U, us, let us make mankind in our image. Okay, so think about us for a minute. That's of all the days that he created stuff, this is the one that he said, let us make man. I don't know about you. I can understand a little bit. I paid a little bit of attention to English. Us is plural. You know, more than one person. So we can talk about that in a minute. So let me tell you what happened today, that day. At some point there in all this, you got Adam, right? The best sleep that man has ever had in the history of mankind happened when God put him to sleep. Took one of his ribs and made woman. And then when he woke up, man has never been the same since. That's right. Okay? That's right. When he woke up and said, whoa, man. That's where woman comes from. Now, y'all being funny. Right? And we ain't been right ever since. And just wait, I don't know how else to put it. Men, y'all understand. Every man in here looking at his wife, making sure that she ain't looking, he going, yeah. So, anyway, we ain't going to discuss that no more. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. Day seven. What was the day seven? Yep, y'all know what God did on day seven? He rested. from all his work, then blessed it and made it holy. Not only did he rest, he made it holy. If you read that script, you read all the scripture in detail and stuff, he blessed it because it was good. It was good what he done. And he blessed it. He blessed everything that's done. Now, you may ask, does our God need rest? Think about that a minute. I've been preaching for a long time about being Christ-like, what Christ's done. What Christ has done, God too, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is set the example for us on what we need to be doing, okay? He not necessarily need rest, but he knows we do. So I'm going to put this out here to y'all that work 7 days a week. You need to rest. You need to find a day of rest. And not only do that, not only rest, you can sit in your recliner and rest and read a little bit of scripture. Make it a holy day. Okay? You can take God anywhere. I tell my son, he potentially is going to be moving around with his job. I told him, I said, God can go wherever you go. He'll be there with you. We're good on creation? I'm going to get back to Genesis 3:15 in a minute, the fall of man. Okay, let's talk about the Trinity real quick. I think this is real important to understand totally about the fall of man and what God did for us immediately after the fall of man put in a place. I'll just give you a little hint. He gave us redemption right off the bat. Okay? But we need to understand something first. We need to understand the creation week. We need to understand the Trinity we talked about. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, and we talk about this all the time. We know we like evidence. We like to see stuff. So here you go. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. God, let's describe God. It's pretty simple. There's a whole lot more references than what I'm giving y'all today. I'm just giving you the good stuff. So God, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, there's God. That's kind of simple, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's God the Father. All right? So let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Genesis 1:1. Well, I just read. I didn't mess up. This is on purpose. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to look or listen to this. John 1:1-3. In the beginning, remember Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning, was the Word. See that W on Word is capitalized? And the Word was with God. Remember that word us a while ago? Let us make man. Okay. The Word was with God. So that means there's two at minimum. We got three, actually, and we can talk about that. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. He was with God, and he is God. Now, I'll tell you this. To be a Christian takes a lot of faith on things, right? And the day that you think that you totally understand everything that God does or doesn't do, you're in trouble as a mankind, right? If we knew everything and we wouldn't need God. Okay, so you're not going to understand totally what everything. And I always tell people, this is one of the hardest things for a human mind to comprehend is how can Jesus be with God and be the Holy Spirit? Because the Word says it. We just read it because he said so. Sometimes we got to let our human understanding let it go and be childlike and just because mom and daddy says so. Okay? Just because I said so. That's because God said so. All right. Get off of that. So in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Through him all things were made. I want you to catch that. Now, catch this part. Without him, nothing was made or has been made. Now, let me jump to my favorite scripture, John 14:6. We just read that word through. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm putting too much emphasis on this, but I'm trying to drive home the point is we got to understand that everything goes through Jesus. Amen. Not everything goes to Jesus, but everything goes through Jesus. I want you to get that too. And so there ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period.
Come on.
Okay? Some more evidence. Scripture about Jesus, who Jesus is. So we know he's God, was God. Just to back it up a little bit, Colossians 1:15-16 tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
Okay. The firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him. Here's that through him again, and for him. You know, so we got two words now, through him and for him.
Amen.
Okay? We've got to pay attention to that. All that stuff I read in Colossians, that laundry list of things, that means everything. Okay? Everything. I don't know how else to put it. That's as simple as you can make it. Everything. Hebrews 1:2. But in these last days, he has spoken through us by his Son, whom he appointed heir, I messed that word up. He's going to inherit it, of all things, and through him, there's that through again, also he made the universe. So you know who Jesus is now? We talk about who Jesus is when he walked the earth and stuff, our salvation, and he died on the cross, he rose, he resurrected. That's all very, very important. But we also got to realize he's God. Jesus is a God, and Jesus has always been here. Now, that's another word I think that we, or another concept that's hard for us. We got to have faith. It's eternity. Time began with creation for us. Okay? Time is for us. We can't put God, when I say God, so now you know from this point forward, when I say God, I mean Jesus and God. And then I'm finna tell you a little bit about the Holy Spirit here in a minute too. So we get all three of those. So if I say Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, that's the same person. Okay? All right. Now I lost my train of thought. What was I going with that? Whatever. Spirit. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's God, who he is. I gave you the scriptures on who Jesus is. He's God. The Holy Spirit, I'm just going to give you one scripture. Genesis 1:2. Now on earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There's your Holy Spirit. There's your Trinity. There's your three. That's what I was going to say a while ago. There's your three. When he says, let us make man in our image, that's the us we're talking about. The us is those three. So we got that concept now, right? We got that. And I gave you the evidence for it. You want to go do more research? Have at it. Matter of fact, I encourage you to, because that means you're getting in the Word of God. And I read Genesis 1:26 where he said, make mankind in our image. That's the first us. There's also another spot, Genesis 11:7. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time here because it's not part. The Tower of Babel, remember that story? If you don't remember that story, mankind was jiving together. They were working, but not in a good way. They were trying to get to heaven, build this tower, go to heaven. And God looked down and he said, let us go down and confuse your language so they would not understand each other. Now go read a whole chapter 11, different time, okay? And you get that whole story there. But what I'm trying to get at, two times minimum in Genesis, early on, we get the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man, let us go down. Okay, I got that. And also, now I told you I don't speak good English, so I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot of Hebrew. Okay? I don't. I had to do some research. Chapter 1 in the Hebrew, the name of God is plural. Now back to English, you know what plural means? More than one person. So not only you got the evidence of all three, but the way it's written, the writer wrote in plural, the Hebrew, God means multiple things, or three. So there's all your evidence. I'm already wore out. All right. Okay, here's the sermon. Y'all ready? Y'all got the background now? Now, and the reason I think y'all need that, I did. When I say y'all, I'm not insulting y'all, because I needed it to really grasp this. Now, you ought to try laying in the bed half a night, just running through your head what God's trying, what he gave me.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about being wore out. All right. So those of you who want a name for this, we're going to go, and this can get interesting. We're going to go from Eden, that's the Garden of Eden, to eternity in this sermon. All focused on what Jesus did for us. So we already read Genesis 3:15. I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. You will strike his heel. So it begins in the garden. We got the fall of man. And I'm just hitting the high points. I got that. We got creation. We got Adam and Eve. God, in the cool of the evening, walked with Adam and Eve. God. Okay? Satan comes in, interrupts everything. And sin entered the world. Okay? That separated that walk in the evening with God. That's why he had to send his son down the line in order to bridge that gap back. When he put that intimacy in, I can't say that word, but when he put that in play, that separated us from God. From sin, because of sin, okay? So keep that in mind. But I want you to notice the rest of the scripture there. So he see the separation there, that word enmity, the separation in between your offspring and hers. He, Jesus Christ, will crush your head. When did he do that? I'm going to tell you, glad you asked, when he died on that cross for you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it took a little while down the line, but we're looking at the big picture here. He will crush your head, and he will strike his heel. And you will strike his heel. He died on the cross. He suffered for you and I. That was a strike on the heel. That's when Jesus, it wasn't looking too good for mankind and man's eyes leading up to the cross. Then he died on the cross. They thought Satan won. Satan thought he won. But we know what happened, right? We just had an Easter sermon. He busted up out of there. He resurrected and took care of all of that. So right off the beginning, man messed up. I put it this way. This we can understand this. Man messed up in the garden. Messed up. Let sin enter the world. And then immediately God put in place a redemption, a way to bridge the gap, to put that connection back to God. Immediately. He just, because he, Now, it took a few years to go through the process, but he put a way for it to happen. They call this the first gospel. Some scholars, they don't, if you want, call it the first gospel. The announcement that evil will not reign forever. A descendant of the woman, Jesus, will come. The serpent will strike him, died on the cross, but he will crush the serpent. We're going to jump ahead. I told you we're going from Eden to eternity. Okay? We're in the church age right now. Okay? He resurrected. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now is your time to get on board. Okay? But when we get to this eternity here in a minute at the end, in about an hour or so, when we get to the end, we're going to see what happens at the end when Satan is finally crushed. It's over with. He's defeated right now. Okay? That don't mean he's not actively working. He is. We know that. Right? He works. He's going to... Every day. But there's going to be an end. That was the promise that was given right off the bat from God. You're going to crush his head. Period. Okay? From that point on, the entire Old Testament carries the promise forward. God perseveres people. He establishes covenants. He raises prophets. He sustains hope. I just gave you the quickest deal from Genesis to the New Testament. Okay? All that. Now look, we would be here for several hours if we broke each one of those down. But we got the garden. We got sin, the fall of man. We got Moses. We got King David. We got the prophets. We got all this stuff in between going on, right? There's a lot. And so if you want to know more about it, read. That's all I can tell you. But I can tell you that the promise all through centuries has been preserved through all of this. Everything that's going up to right up to today so far. Okay? The question echoes through generations. Who is the one who will crush the serpent? And we talked about that. That's going to be God, Jesus. Every sacrifice, every deliverance, every prophecy points to that. The promise is not forgotten. It is developing, struggling today. It's a work in progress.
Amen.
Okay? It's not completed yet. Right now, on his time, his design, he's giving you and I and everybody else in the world opportunity to accept him.
Amen.
That's church age I'm talking about. That's why I said right now is the time. Because it will be when there's not no more time. Or any more time. So the promise was fulfilled on that cross. That's the promise. That's developing. It ain't finished. That's when it was. So we went through the Old Testament, the prophets, to the cross. Now we're at the cross. Okay, keep that in mind. Then in the fullness of time, the answer arrived in Jesus Christ. At the cross, it appears that the serpent has won. I told you that already a little bit. You know, he thought he won. Jesus is struck, betrayed, crucified, and buried. The story don't end there. You know, in a human perspective, when you die, that's the end. It ain't the end. It wasn't the end for Jesus. Jesus resurrected and defeated death, defeated sin, fulfilled that promise on the cross because he chose to. Anytime he wanted to, he could have, like, no, I ain't doing it for them. But he did. Now it's our turn. Non-Christians that's listening anywhere, it's your turn. It's on you right now. You got to make that choice. Through his resurrection, sin was defeated. Death is overcome. The power of the enemy is broken. He is powerless. He may not seem like it. He's not with us without Christ. He's defeated. We should be jumping with joy.
Amen.
But What is it? James, in the book of James, what does it say? It's considered a pure joy to go through these trials and tribulations. I call it life. When you go through life, stuff happens. Some good, some bad. Some real bad. Some are gooder than others. The serpent's head is crushed. What looked like defeat becomes the decisive victory at the center of history. Decisive. You know what decisive means? No doubt. No doubt. There's no room for speculation. He did it. Now let's get down. I gave you a crash course to the cross and his resurrection. Now here's where the promise applies to us today. Okay? And I gave you a little bits a while ago. We're in the church age. I want you to look at, or he'll throw it up on the board here in a minute. Romans 16:20. You ain't got to go there, but listen to this. It says, the story doesn't stop at the resurrection. In Romans 16:20, Paul the apostle says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Christ has won the victory, and believers share in it. You realize when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're adopted into the family of God. Adoption is a legal binding family. I don't know how to put it. You belong to Him. You belong to God. God's going to take care of you. And He has taken care of you.
Amen.
Even on the baddest things look that we go through here, there's nothing compared to what's ahead.
Amen.
Of eternity. So just think about the worst thing that happened up to this point in your life. God got you through it because I'm looking at you.
Come on.
I question some of y'all, are y'all alive or not, but but y'all are alive. The church lives in the tension of already and not yet. Meaning, I already told you, Satan's already defeated. So we're already ahead of the game. We're not. That's not a good way to explain it. We're victorious already. Already won. But the final end has to come still. And we're going to get there. It's coming. We live in that church age and stuff. We think we got all this time in the world. But when it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
And so you better be ready. It says we struggle, but not without hope.
Amen.
We got hope. We resist, but not alone. God Himself is still at work, crushing evil, even now, through the lives of His people. Notice that His people, that's you and I, Christians, right? That's after Christ. All right. The final victory. We got victory, but here's the end, I should say, not victory. Revelation 20:10. And I'm just hitting, again, you go back and read all this stuff. The story reaches its conclusion in Revelation 20. There is no more partial victory, no more ongoing battle. The serpent, Satan, is fully and finally defeated. And read it. And the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had already been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's over. Is done. That's where he's already. The thing is, that's where he's headed, because he's already lost. He just ain't got there yet. No more deception, no more rebellion, no more evil influence. All that's gone forever. What was promised in Eden is complete in eternity.
Amen.
The crushing is total, irreversible, and everlasting. What man junked up, messed up, however you want to put it, in the garden, God fixed it. God fixed it. Right off the bat. That's how much love he has for you and I. He could have just said, let them go. They won't be that, let them go. But he didn't. That's the kind of love that we talked about last week, that agape love that God had for you and I. And that's the kind of love that we need to have right now while we're in that church age waiting on this final end. We need to get that word out there as much as possible as we can. We need to have that kind of love for everybody to get them to be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
That's our call. That's our mission. And beyond the defeat of evil comes something even greater, restoration. A new heaven, a new earth. What started before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, this will be restored. God dwelling with his people. Remember I told you he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool in the evening, had that relationship, and sin entered, separated that. So all the, however long that would be to hear, God's going to restore that, and he's going to be with his people. His people. That means you and his family. No more sin, pain, or death. It says the story that began in the garden ends in restored creation, greater than what was lost. God not only fixed it, he made it more better. More better.
Amen.
That's better than better. Right? Better is better. But more better. That's a good better. From Genesis to Revelation, the message is clear. The promise was given in Eden. The victory was won at the cross. The triumph is being lived out now. And the final defeat of evil is still to come. Get on the good side of the team. Join Christ and his family. Jesus Christ and his family.
Amen.
And let's ride this out together.
Right.
It's going to be a good ride.
Come on.
The best ride you ever get on. It says, so the question is, so where does that leave us? We live in the middle of the story. After this deceived victory, before the final completion. We're slap dab in the middle of it right now. The only thing that has to occur is Jesus come back and get his church.
Come on.
He's coming back. Let me rephrase that.
He is.
We're waiting on it.
Amen.
But we're not waiting on nothing that ain't going to happen.
Come on.
He's coming.
Right.
He is coming. The enemy is real, but already defeated. The struggle is present, but temporary. The victory is certain, and we're a part of it.
Amen.
The serpent still strikes, but only the heel. I want you to notice those words early on in Genesis we read. He struck Jesus' heel. Typically speaking, if you want to relate this to a snake, if he bites you in the heel, you're probably going to live. Probably wish he was dead. But notice, it wasn't a fatal blow.
Amen.
Jesus resurrected. God still crushes, and soon it will be complete. And the promise that began with a whisper in Eden will end up with a shout of eternity, in eternity. Victory belongs to God and his people forever. I'm going to get the musicians to come forward. If you want to be a part of this victory party, today's, like I said before, today's the day of salvation. There's no need or reason to put it off. Because we don't know when that final act is going to happen. We don't know. But what we do know is he's available right now.
Amen.
Right now. And I want everybody to stand. If you need to come down here and talk to me, all I'm going to do is lead you in a direction that you need to go, getting his word. If you need to come down here and pray, come down here and pray. If you need to do it where you at, do it where you at. If you're already a Christian, you got this, you're on this victory bandwagon, you just need to clean up a little bit of stuff, there's no better time or place to do it. You do it where you're standing or up here, whatever's best for you. Do not miss any opportunity where God is leading you to do right now. Bow your head, we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again so much for these words that you gave us and this and the victory that you gave us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Just be with each and every one of us, and just we open up to you and give you our hearts, Lord. Just thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.